Oh, it's good to be here. I sure do love you all. Are we ready? Yeah? Good, okay. Good morning, everyone. Good to be here. We're going to continue our study in the book of Galatians. And being a wonderful study. Wonderful study. Going through this little book and seeing Paul's defense of the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. And never forget as we read these words of Paul that the true author of these words is the Holy Spirit of God. And so the warnings within here about false teachers are really from God Himself. And so we need to remember that. Today we'll continue our study in the book of Galatians chapter 1. The name of the message today is Pleasing God or Men. And last week we looked at verses 8 and 9 where twice we saw Paul bring forth by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God that anyone who's preaching a works-based salvation, there's a curse upon them. There's a curse upon them. That's a pretty serious thing. And why might one ask, is there are multiple religions around the world which teach that there's something that man has to do for salvation or to reach a higher plane. Paul writes these words against the Judaizers, letting us know that not only what they teach is wrong, but also any religion outside of Christ is wrong. It's a damning religion. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Matthew chapter 7, and we'll read verses 24 to 27. You know, to natural man, those religions that claim that there's something you have to do to either go to heaven or reach a higher plane, to natural man, that sounds right. Because natural man, even when we were dead in trespasses and in sins, natural man thinks that it's something they have to do to gain merit and favor with God or to end up in nirvana. Look at this in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to see a contrast here between one who's on the solid ground of being faith in Christ, and we know that's God-given, and in the sinking sand of anyone who does not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that includes people of all different religions in the world. That even includes so-called Christians who are adding works to salvation, which they aren't Christians. Right? Think of the Catholic Church. And I know I came out of that and I know I speak about that. But think of the Catholic Church. Billions of people. People say, can 6 billion people be wrong? Or it's not a billion. There's only 6 billion people in the world, isn't there? But say a billion people that are Catholics around the world. Can they all be wrong? Yes. Yeah, they can be, and they are. If they're following what the Catholic Church teaches, yes, they're wrong. Because they believe in, number one, they believe in baptismal regeneration. And number two, the Catholic Church preaches a works-based salvation. And it's basically, again, as I said before, Mary worship, basically, is what it is. And so look at these words here. In light of that, think of that, in light of that. Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. Therefore, and this is the words of the Master too speaking. This is the words of God incarnate in the flesh. This is not my words or another preacher's words. This is the words of the Master. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Think of that in light of the wrath of God. the wrath of God fallen upon us. Well, we're in Christ, right? We're hidden in Christ. So the wrath of God is appeased, isn't it? It's appeased. And it says here, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon what? A rock. It's founded upon Christ, beloved. Who's our faith founded upon? The rock. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at this. And the rain descended, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. So anyone who does not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't care how sincere they are and other things, look at this. This is you talk about laying a dividing line. Again, this is God incarnated in the flesh. This is the Word of God who came to give Himself for the sins of His people. He said this, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. Damned to hell for eternity. My. And salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord, it's in the Lord, and through the Lord, and Him alone, by His works, by His perfect sin atoning work on Calvary's cross, dying as the substitute for His people, giving Himself, think of this too, giving Himself, offering Himself up to God in our room and place as our sin offering. And we weren't even born. We weren't even around. Let's turn now to Galatians chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 to 10 to see the context of our verse, which will be in verse 10 today. Galatians chapter 1, starting verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I love this. Who gave himself for our sins. That's a fact. That he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. There's nothing else you could say, is there? Amen. Oh my. And then he writes, in verse four, he preached the gospel to them. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So we've seen in our study in this chapter, we've seen Paul preach the one true gospel to the Galatian saints. He does this in verse 4 again, who gave him, speaking of Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. And then we saw Paul give all glory to God in verse 5, and then in verse 6 and 7, he brings forth that the Judaizers are teaching a perversion of the one true gospel. They're actually teaching in the Greek, they're actually teaching that which is diametrically opposed to the one true gospel. And the one true gospel, what does it do? It does what verse 5 does. It gives all glory to God and God alone. There's no man cannot glory in anything Christ done for us. All we can do is give Him the glory. And that's how it should be. Because God won't, as I mentioned a few sermons back, God won't share His glory with anyone. And the one true gospel gives the great, majestic, triune God, all the glory. The Father chose us in Christ in eternity. The Son, by His perfect work of redemption, saved His people from their sins. And the work of the Holy Spirit of God is drawing those blood-washed saints to the Lord Jesus Christ, giving us faith to believe on Him. One second we don't believe, the next second we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a miracle. It's absolutely amazing. And then we are raised from spiritual deadness and darkness and brought into the marvelous light of the gospel, brought into the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ, saved from the power of darkness. And so as a result of these wonderful truths proclaimed in the one true gospel, God's born again children, we give all the glory to God as a result of that. We seek to glorify Him in our words and in song when we're here, and even at home when we start singing things, right? Oh my, singing in your heart, glorifying God in your heart, hearing His word and glorifying God and giving Him all the thanks and all the glory for His unspeakable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation in and through Christ alone. And we were in the loins of Adam when Adam ate that forbidden fruit. We were in his loins, beloved, and we fell with him. We fell with him, plunged into spiritual darkness. And he plunged the whole human race into spiritual darkness, bringing condemnation upon all his future generations by one, think of this, by one sinful act. One act. How much sin does it take to send someone to hell? Just one. One sin. Oh my. And at one time we were just as blind as those who are still in spiritual darkness. We were right there. We had no idea that we were one of God's people. But God, who's rich in mercy. Oh, He's rich in mercy. What did He have happen to us? Well, He had the one true gospel come to us, didn't He? Oh, and we heard that gospel with ears. As Brother Tom and I were talking one time, Tom said, you know, He gives us ears to hear and eyes to see. It's a revelation of God, and that's so true. It's a revelation of God. It's amazing. All by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and all according to God's sovereign power this occurs, according to His will. Think of that. It was His will to save us from before the foundation of the world. That one just makes your brain go, doesn't it? That's mine. Oh my gosh. I don't think I can fully comprehend it, but I believe it. I believe it because God says it. It's wonderful. So rejoice, beloved of God. The Holy Spirit has revealed to us the Lord Jesus Christ. He's revealed to Him. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according to it, as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If we're going to glory, let us glory in the Lord. Let us glory in what He's done. Look what the Lord's done. It's amazing. And if God has delivered us from the power of darkness, He has translated us into the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ, it's all by He who is seated at the right hand of the Father. All in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. My. And all God's children, all God's born again, blood washed children, confess Him to be Lord. There's no making them Lord. He's already Lord. And we confess Him to be Lord. He's Lord over all. He's Lord over all. And we rejoice, don't we, in His finished work, that He's purged our sins, that He's fully paid for our sins. We rejoice in that. And Paul is going to bring up in verse 10, does the gospel preacher seek to please men, or does he be the servant of God? One might ask what Paul means with these words. Let's read verse 10 again. For do I now persuade man or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And then let's read verses 11 and 12. We're going to look at those more in depth next week, but let's read them with this. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. It's not man-made. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, the gospel is not something that I teach. It's been revealed to me, and if the Lord is pleased, He'll reveal it to you. Now, I preach the gospel, and I preach God's word, but it's God's gospel. And only He can reveal it to us. And that's where we just praise God, the fact that He revealed it to us. We're absolutely amazed, aren't we? God revealed this to me? Yeah. God the Holy Spirit, He revealed the truth. Praise His mighty name. So in these verses, along with the rest of this chapter, Paul is going to defend his apostolic authority. We're going to, as I said in our next study, we'll look at that a little closer. As Paul's credentials as one of the Lord's apostles in our next study, because they had attacked his authority. They had attacked Paul's authority. So we'll look at that again next week, if the Lord wills. And think upon this, the false prophets who had seduced the churches of Galatia, that's what they had done. They'd come in and they'd seduce the believers there from the gospel of God's free grace. Not totally, but they had them starting to lean that way. Some people were listening to the words of these false teachers. They persuaded them that from the observance of Levitical ceremonies, which think of this, who fulfilled all the Levitical ceremonies in our place? The Lord Jesus Christ did, didn't He? He's the end of the law for righteousness. He did those things as our substitute, beloved. Satisfying every one of those Levitical laws in our place. It's incredible. So we're not under them anymore. Now, they reflect the holiness of God. They show the holiness of God. But no one can be saved by the law. The law condemns. And so here these Judaizers are trying to get these Galatian believers back under the law. You must be circumcised to be saved, along with Christ's work. But Christ already abolished those for His people. And they were teaching that these things were necessary. These things that Christ fulfilled were necessary to be done by the Galatians for their salvation. My, oh my. No wonder Paul said that it's diametrically opposed to the true gospel. No wonder he brought that forth in the Greek when he said the pervert. They would pervert the gospel. That's diametrically opposed in the Greek. Justification and salvation are not partly in faith in Christ and partly by man's works. No, not at all. And Paul he's hammering this, really. He's speaking very sternly with the words that he's using. But remember, who is the author of these words? God, the Holy Spirit. God's jealous of His gospel because Christ died to save us from our sins. My. Remember what the Father said? This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And He's pleased with everybody in Christ, isn't He? Outside of Christ, oh my. And think of this. If Paul is not an apostle, then we're in trouble, aren't we? Because he's responsible for one half, for about half of the New Testament. My, oh my. Now in verse 10, Paul wrote these words right here. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? In other words, he's saying, am I trying to win the favor of man or God? Am I trying to win man's approval or God's approval? Now, you wouldn't want a preacher who's trying to gain man's approval, would you? And I wouldn't either. My. No, not at all. God is the one who we have to please. Hey, God is the one who we serve. We're all servants of God here. Now, I've said this before, and I talked to Drew this week about this. I am a servant to the church. That's what we're called to, is to serve the church. But we serve the church in light of serving Christ. I'm not called here to lord over you. I'm called here to lead and to be a servant, though, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing that, serving you all, too. That's part of the ministry. And Paul here is bringing forth an explanation justifying the cause, which he had just repeated twice in verses 8 and 9. He brings forth that he would not have uttered these words if he was seeking to please man. He wouldn't have said, "Let them be accursed," if he was trying to please man. He said, "Well, those guys aren't too bad. They're not too bad. They're just adding something that shouldn't be there." No. If he was trying to please man, he wouldn't have said, "Let them be accursed." Because that's anathema in the Greek. That's a strong word. That's a strong word. My, oh my. If he was seeking to please man, he would have said what some modern day religions say. You know, I talked to somebody one time and they said, "Well, Catholics are our brothers and sisters." I said, "No, they're not." They kind of looked at me. I said, "No, they're not. They believe a false gospel." "Well, how can you say that, Wayne?" "Because the Bible tells me that that's a false gospel. Not just because I came out of it, because the Word says that it is." My, oh my. I was talking to someone on Friday who claimed to be a Christian, and he started mentioning Kenneth Copeland. Now, Kenneth Copeland is one of the wolves of the Word of Faith movement. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Him and Joyce Meyer and all those, Paul Crouch, all them guys, they're all just a bunch of wolves. Now, you say that to people in religion, even, you know, I've been talking to people about Osteen, he's a wolf. And then this other guy they mentioned, T.J. Jakes, he's a oneness Pentecostal. He doesn't even believe in the Trinity. Well, no, he's a Christian. No, he's not. He's a false teacher. Why are people afraid to mention that? Well, partly because they don't believe in the one true gospel, that there is only one true gospel. And there is. Paul's bringing that forth in our text here. Very clearly. So I mentioned this guy that he said, "Oh yeah, Kenneth Copeland," he mentioned him. I said, "Hey, he's a false teacher. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing." And there was a reply, "Well, I wouldn't go that far." And it came out a little later that he was you know why he wouldn't go that far? Because he was a Word of Faith believer. Prosperity gospel is what that is. And I said, "Well, you know, my Lord didn't even have a place to lay his head." And I said, "Some of the poorest saints are the dearest saints in this world." And I just told him, I said, I believe that the whole prosperity gospel taught was nothing but a lie. Now, some people say, "Wayne, I'm not being harsh. I'm being honest." And I said it, I didn't say it in a hard way. I just told them the truth. And we still dialogued, which was good. Because I've learned through the years, if you just go right at someone, they're going to turn right off. So I didn't lie to them. You know, we're going through Galatians. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. No, it's a lie. See, I'm not here to please man. I'm not here to please men. I'm not here to please anyone. I'm here to preach the gospel of God's sovereign grace in Christ. And I love that gospel. You know why? Because it saved me. Because it gives all the glory to Christ. And it talks about what He's done. I was in works-based religion. It's awful. It's horrible. But praise be to God. He saved us by His grace. So Paul would not have uttered this statement in verse 9. He wouldn't have said this As we said before, so will say I again, now if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. If he was trying to please men, he wouldn't have said that at all. And see the word now in verse 10? By the use of the word now. For do I now persuade men? By that use of the word now in verse 10, he argues that at the critical moment when the Galatian Christians were leaning towards the false doctrines of the Judaizers, and they made a serious malevolent attack upon the true Christian church and the true doctrine, the pure doctrine of salvation in Christ alone, it could not possibly be his purpose to curry the favor of man rather than please God. No, he wasn't going to say, well, you know, those Judaizers ain't so bad. They're sincere. No, he hit it head on, didn't he? And again, who's the author of these words? It's the Holy Spirit of God. Weiss comments about this. See the word persuade there? For do I now persuade men or God? The word persuade there is from pithio, which means to persuade. But Weiss comments about the use in the context of this verse. The Greek word means more precisely to win over, to conciliate, and render friendly to oneself. He's trying to win them back to Christ. That's what he's trying to do. Now, Paul had been charged with trying to gain the favor of man by his opponents at Corinth. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. His enemies had said, well, you're trying to win the favor of man. You write to them boldly, but when you're in the presence, you speak softly. And so they tried to use that against them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul writes these words, again, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He says, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you. So he's humble among them. Which is how we are to be as Christians, aren't we? Humble among them. Who in present and base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So they're accusing Paul of being, the enemies of God are accusing Paul of being meek in the presence of the Corinthians, but yet bold when he's writing to them. Paul's just himself, isn't he? Paul's just being himself. Now think upon this. The Lord Jesus Christ has gained God's approval for his people, right? We are approved to be in the presence of God by what Christ did. Not by anything we do, but by what Christ did. Christ has gained God's approval. And the only way a hell-deserving sinner can be approved in God's presence, in God's sight, is to be found in Christ. That's the only way. Outside of Christ, we're not qualified for heaven. When Paul writes that we're meet for heaven, that means qualified in the Greek. We're qualified to be in the presence of God by what Christ has done. And again, the only way that a hell-deserving sinner can be completely justified from all our sin is by Christ's perfect work on Calvary's cross. That's the only way. There's no other way. And that's what's being brought forth here as Paul defends the one true gospel, salvation in and through Christ alone. Think of this. All religions are trying to earn God's favor by their own self-involved works, by something they do. And they have a sinful desire to win the approval of their religious leaders or to be man-pleasers. You know what I love about all of you? We can be who we are with each other. There's no masks. We can just be who we are. sinners saved by the grace of God. We can be honest with each other. There's no mask to be put on. There's just none. You guys know us so well. You know, we're just who we are. When I go out for breakfast with one of the men, we're just who we are. Go out and rejoice and talk about the Lord, talk about other things too, but rejoice in each other, in the fellowship that we have. It's sweet. It's so sweet. But religious folks, they have to be man pleasers. They have to put masks on all the time. They're not to be that. Let's read verse 10 again. For do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And we see the word is used twice in our text. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. We see the word or used twice there, right? Do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? Twice it's used in the text here. And this little word is from the Greek word e, which means rather than. Do I seek rather than to please men? Or rather than God? My, such a small word, but so much meaning. And we see that the use of this word brings forth the kind of slanders which were being circulated about Paul. He was being accused of being a man pleaser. My. His enemies were accusing him of sacrificing the truth of God's gospel for the sake of conciliating men and winning their favor. But that's not what he was doing, was he? And we see that by verses 8 and 9. He's not seeking to please men. And it was Paul's boast that he became all things to all men, right? He used to say that. He said that in the scriptures. I become all things to all men. So they thought, well, he's a man pleaser then. No, he's not. Not at all. Hudson Taylor, when he went to China, this is an example. Great missionary. He went to China, preached the gospel. He dressed up in the same outfits, the same clothing that they did. He's becoming all things to all men to be able to preach the gospel to them more. I used to go to the mission in Oregon. The guys loved it when I came because I just came in either a polo or a sweater. He said, man, these guys come. They come in their suits and they don't even hardly talk to us. But you're coming down talking to us. And I said, well, I'm just like you. Except I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's all. You see? We don't have to put no airs on, do we? That's what it means to become all things to all men. Now, there was a time when Paul had Timothy circumcised, but all he was doing in that case was promoting harmony between the Jewish and Gentile converts. It had nothing to do with Timothy's salvation. But see, they could look at something like that and say, see, he is being a man pleaser. No, it had nothing to do with Timothy's salvation. Timothy was already saved. Again, he's trying to bring harmony with the Jewish and Gentile converts. But Paul's enemies, they always tried to misrepresent him. Paul was a servant of the Most High God. He is not ashamed to identify his God. He's a servant of Christ. He says that here. He's a servant of Christ. Look at verse 10. For do I now persuade man or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul's a servant of Christ. He's a servant of the Most High. And we know that God's servants, we're not to be mean. We're not to be hurtful. Not at all. We're not to be obnoxious. Even when we're presenting the gospel to someone we're talking to, we're not to be like that. But we are to be honest. We are to be honest. And people will get offended. And even when you're not trying to offend them. When you tell them about the one true gospel of salvation in Christ and Him alone. God's servants will be gentle and kind, showing genuine love and concern. love and concern. The world's full of false preachers. Full of it. Full of false preachers. They're not servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, John wrote this in 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets or preachers are gone out into the world. There's all kinds of them. And you know what? Most false preachers are pleasers of men. They're pleasers of men. Therefore, the gospel truths that are in the Bible are not important to them. Not important to them. They want what's in men's wallets and women's purses. That's what they want. But you know, the true gospel preacher is concerned about your soul. Not concerned about money or anything like that. We're concerned about your soul. My. And false preachers, what they put in the minds of their hearers is not as important to them as what the people that are listening put in their plate. Again, my prayer is God give you hearing ears to hear the gospel. That's what's most important. Paul was one of the Lord's true apostles, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But that was not always true of him, was it? He was steeped in false religion too at one time, wasn't he? Yeah, he was. He knew what he came out of. He knew what the Lord saved him out of. He confesses this in some of the verses we're going to look at in our next lesson. So are we trying to win the favor of man or God? Do we seek to be man pleasers? If we're seeking the favor and approval of man, then we're not the bondservants of Christ. God's preachers have one aim. One aim. That is to be true to this word right here. True to this word and to preach Christ and Him crucified. My. And in doing that, we'll be true to our hearers. Right? It's so true. And this gospel of the free grace of God is God glorifying, beloved. It gives God all the glory and all the honor and praise. It honors all His attributes. Think of this. His love is magnified. His mercy is magnified through the gospel. His infinite wisdom. His righteous justice. His immutable holiness is all magnified when one preaches the gospel. And the gospel, this gospel of the free grace of God in Christ is the only hope for sinners. It's the only hope. It's the only hope for this sinner. I know it's the only hope for you who are born again, who are sinners. The only hope we have. This gospel of Christ's finished, perfect work. My. And no one will be saved outside of Christ. May God grant you faith. If you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, may God grant you faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and goodness. Oh, your wonderful grace. Wonderful, majestic, sovereign, almighty grace and mercy. It's all free. And we're saved according to thy free grace, Lord. Oh, glory to your name. Pray you be with me in the morning service. Give me an unction from on high and fill me with thy Holy Spirit that I might speak boldly the wonderful things of thee, Lord Jesus.